Good evening, and welcome again to the Elder's Corner. This is a broadcast ministry of the Sovereign Grace Assembly in Versailles, Indiana. I am Elder Stephen Mullins of Sovereign Grace, and you're watching the Elder's Corner. It's been a while since I've done one of these. I did one earlier in the month to introduce one of our distinctions that was coming up on the 10th, which was Elder John Willis preaching, sharing that we are a congregation that is led by a plurality of elders. I did one week after that, maybe 2 weeks after that, regarding the state of our congregation and the first steps that we're taking as we've just completed one quarter. And now I come to you this morning, or this evening rather, and I wanted to read to you from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16, because this Sunday we will be celebrating that same distinction that we celebrated earlier in January, as this coming Sunday, Elder Eric Hampton will be delivering the message. And so I felt like Ephesians 4 would be fitting. Paul writes to that Ephesian congregation, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now, first of all, I want to reiterate that this is a letter written by Paul to the local church at Ephesus. This was a local congregation to whom he was writing, giving instruction. This is the same Ephesus that we saw in Acts chapter 20. When Paul was leaving Ephesus, the Ephesian elders walked with him out of the city and he gave instruction to them. He went out bitterly in tears because he had instruction, he had warning for them. He warned them that there would be some that would arise even out of their own midst that would lead people astray. And Paul now writes later from prison, as he's been arrested for preaching the gospel, to that same congregation, and he gives them a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. One thing, as I pointed out in Sunday school yesterday, one of the primary issues in Ephesus as Paul writes this letter is division. For lack of a better way of saying it, it was a racial division. Those in the congregation that were of Jewish heritage were looking down upon those in the congregation that were of Gentile heritage, and vice versa. And Paul writes to these Ephesian believers to let them know that they are one, that they are to be unified. Let's back up for 1 second. We start in verse 7. Let's back up to verse 4 through 6. "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and in through all and in you all. Verses 4, 5, and 6 of chapter 4 give an indication of the issue. It's division. It's a lack of unity. It is a racial division between those of Jewish heritage and those of Gentile heritage. I shared in Sunday school yesterday in Ephesians chapter 1 that we need to pay attention to Paul's use of pronouns. His use of pronouns in Ephesians 1 verses 3 going all the way down to verse 12 indicates he's writing to the Jewish believers there at Ephesus. Verse 13, he changes his use of pronouns, and it's indicative that he's writing in verse 13 of chapter 1 to those of Gentile heritage. He gets now to chapter 4. He hits the nail on the head, coming back to that theme of unity. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. And he says that there's different gifts. There's grace given to each within the body, each within the covenant community. The covenant community is made up of those folks within Ephesus who have acknowledged Jesus as Lord, coming to him in confession and repentance. They form the covenant community. There is to be unity there. Grace is given to each one within that covenant community according to the measure of Christ. Says in verse 8, he ascended, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. What does it mean that he ascended, that he first descended? What's he talking about there? Well, when did Jesus ascend? Jesus ascended after his death, burial, resurrection. Then he was with his disciples for 40 days, and then he walked out to the edge of the city up on the mountain, and they watched him ascend into the heavens. Well, what does it mean that he ascended, but that he first descended? What's the descended? That's the incarnation. Jesus came from heaven to earth in the incarnation. He was born of a virgin. As he gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now there are some traditions that teach that there's a fivefold ministry. But if you look at the Greek and you understand the construction of the letter here, particularly the construction of this verse, it's clear that there's not five, but there's four. Even in the English, it's clear. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers is one office, one distinction, one gift. Perhaps a better way of translating it would be to say pastor hyphen teacher. Because if you're a pastor, you're a teacher. If you're a teacher within the local congregation, then you're a pastor. Why does he designate those four offices, those four gifts, those four distinctions? He designates them for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So he doesn't say that the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastor teachers are ministers. Rather, he says that those are equippers. God raises them up for the equipping of the saints so the saints can go out and do the work of the ministry. So the saints can be the hands and feet of Jesus. so that the saints could go into the highways and hedges and compel men to come in, that the Father's house might be full. That's one of the reasons that we at Sovereign Grace are organized as we are. The vast majority of churches in our area are built upon a solo pastor model, are built upon a single personality model. We at Sovereign Grace desire to be built upon a biblical model. The biblical model is a plurality of elders. When you've got one man that's doing all the preaching, 51 to 52 weeks out of the year, that's not equipping the saints for the work of ministry. But when that one man, when the lead elder, when the preaching elder designates a certain number of Sundays each year that other men will be in the pulpit delivering the message, that is equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. So the congregation is not built upon a single personality, is not built upon a solo pastor model. A solo pastor model can only grow so far. But when the work is divided up, when each is recognized for unique giftedness, and each is allowed to operate in those gifts, then God's church can grow. And God's church can be effective in the community. And God's church can reach the community with the message of Jesus and Him crucified. The edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Sovereign Grace Assembly, we are committed to speaking the truth in love. How do we do that? We do that through expositional preaching. We make the point of the text the point of the sermon. We start in chapter 1, verse 1, and we work our way through. Currently, our first sermon series is Job, Understanding Suffering and Service. We just finished chapter 17 of Job. Elder Eric Hampton will be delivering the message from Job 18. We are speaking the truth in love as we work verse by verse, chapter through Job, developing a biblical understanding of suffering and service, particularly during this pandemic, particularly when so many are suffering, particularly when so many are longing for, looking for hope. We want to speak the truth in love. We want to be, at Sovereign Grace Assembly, a healing salve for the Ripley County communities. We want to be a church that reaches out in love. We want to be a church that reaches out in love. And yes, sometimes that's going to be and sound harsh. Because when you reach out in love, sometimes you have to address sin. And you have to call sin for what it is. But if you don't address sin, you're not loving. If you don't call sin for what it is, you're not loving. If you don't call sinners to confession and repentance, you're not loving. If you don't desire the salvation of those around you, you're not loving. If you don't desire to see those around you in heaven, you're not loving. We are called to speak the truth in love. We are called to preach the Scriptures expositionally, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Work verse by verse, developing a biblical worldview so that the people of Ripley County know that there's a congregation that's unique, that's distinct. Know that there's a congregation right there, up front and personal with them, that stands for something. We've got a lot of congregations in Ripley County that don't stand for anything. They're tossed about, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We at Sovereign Grace Assembly, we are a particular Baptist congregation. We stand for something. We hold to the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, which gives a brief summary of the tenets, the biblical tenets of our faith. Even Christ, from whom the whole body, being joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every joint. At the end of March, we're going to have a membership Sunday at Sovereign Grace Assembly. We will have a members meeting in which it will be a Q&A, questions and answers. What's expected of members? What should members expect of the congregation? Where are we going? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? Because we believe that every joint supplieth that which is needed in the body of Christ. No one member, no one person has all the gifts. It takes each and every one of us at Sovereign Grace Assembly to make Sovereign Grace Assembly that which God wants us to be. And I look forward to hearing Elder Eric Hampton preach from Job 18 this coming Sunday, as he rightly divides the word, as he exhorts us, as he reproves us, as he rebukes us, as he speaks the truth in love. I know that this congregation will be edified. I know that we will be equipped for every good work. Because I know his heart. And his heart is for the gospel. Check us out this coming Sunday, Facebook Live, 10:30 a.m. If you'd like to worship with us in person, send us a message. We will give you the address and directions. We meet at 9:30 for Sunday school, where we are walking through the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. This coming Sunday, I will begin Article 10 on effectual calling. Come on out for that. 10:30, we will meet in person and Facebook Live if you're not comfortable meeting in person yet. We hold to the regular principle of worship. which means if it's not in the Bible, we don't do it. And so we have a very simple order of worship, very biblically grounded order of worship. Check us out. Tune us in. I know you will be blessed by Eric Hampton's message Sunday. This coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. Facebook Live, Elder John Willis will be continuing his walk through the Theophilus letters of Luke and Acts. I believe this coming Sunday this coming Wednesday he's going to be in Luke 20. He may be wrapping up Luke 19. Check us out. We're still a relatively new congregation. We just finished our first quarter at the end of December. We're now in our second quarter of existence. Come check us out and see the difference in Sovereign Grace Assembly. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you that you raise up churches and you also remove candlesticks from churches. You raise up churches of faithful men who are committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Who are committed to honoring you as King and Lord, recognizing your sovereignty. Lord, we thank you that you raise up churches for your glory, to expand your kingdom to all nations. Lord, we also thank you that you remove candlesticks from churches that have abandoned the gospel. That have lost their priority for worship. You remove those candlesticks because those churches are unfruitful. Because those churches are blemishes on your kingdom. Serving no good. And actually working for our enemy, Satan, the devil. Lord, we pray that you would keep us, that you would preserve us, that you would grow us. People of Ripley County would come to recognize Sovereign Grace Assembly as standing for something, as standing on the faith once delivered to the saints, contending for that faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, we pray that the people of Ripley County would know that we at Sovereign Grace love them. And want to see them acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Surrendering to Jesus in confession and repentance. In your name we pray. And because we still say it, we end this prayer with Amen. Beloved, it's been good. We will see you again Wednesday when Elder John Willis brings the midweek Bible study. See you again on Sunday morning. Hope to see you again next week with another edition of the Elder's Corner.